I think it was a genuine kidnap, Pauling said. I think I blew it.
Do you?
She paused a beat, shook her head. Not really. Truthfully, I just don't know. God knows I want Lane to have done it, obviously. And maybe he did. But for the sake of my sanity, I have to acknowledge that's mostly wishful thinking, to excuse myself. And I have to file the whole thing somewhere mentally. So I tend to come down on the side of avoiding self-indulgence and cheap consolation. And usually, the simple option is the right option anyway. So it was a simple kidnap, not an elaborate charade. And I blew it.
How did you blow it?
I don't know. I've lain awake 100 nights going over it. I don't see how I made a mistake.
So maybe you didn't blow it. Maybe it was an elaborate charade.
What's on your mind, Reacher?
He looked at her. Whatever it was, it's happening again.
Chapter 25. Lauren Pauling sat forward in her chair and said, Tell me. So Reacher told her everything, from the first night in the cafe, the first double espresso in its foam cup, the badly parked Mercedes-Benz, the anonymous driver threading through the Sixth Avenue traffic on foot and then driving the Benz away, the second day with Gregory scouting witnesses, the third day with the unopened red door and the blue BMW, and then the nightmare electronic voice guiding the black BMW back to the exact same fire plug.
If that's a charade, it's unbelievably elaborate, Pauling said.
My feeling exactly.
And insanely expensive.
Maybe not.
You mean because the money comes around in a big circle?
I haven't actually seen any money. All I've seen are zippered bags.
Cut up newspaper?
Maybe, Reacher said, if it's a charade.
What if it isn't?
Exactly.
It feels real.
And if it isn't real, I can't imagine his doing it. He would need people he trusts, which means A-teamers, but there's nobody AWOL.
Were they getting along, man and wife?
Nobody says otherwise.
So it's real.
Reacher nodded. There's an internal consistency to it. The initial takedown must have depended on an inside tip as to where Kate and Jade were going to be and when. And we can prove that inside involvement two ways. First, these people know something about Lane's operation. They know exactly what cars he's got, for instance.
And second?
Something that was nagging at me. Something about cops. I asked Lane to repeat what was said during the first phone call, and he did, word for word. And the bad guys never said, no cops. That's kind of standard, isn't it? Like, don't go to the cops. But that was never said. Which suggests these people knew the story from 5 years ago. They knew Lane wouldn't go to the cops anyway, so it didn't need saying.
That would suggest that 5 years ago was for real.
Not necessarily. It might only reflect what Lane put out there for public consumption.
If it's real this time, does that make it more likely it was real last time?
Maybe, maybe not. But whatever, give yourself a break.
This is like a hall of funhouse mirrors.
Reacher nodded. But there's one thing I can't make fit under any scenario, which is the initial takedown itself. The only viable method would have been quick and dirty inside the car as soon as it stopped. Everyone agrees on that. I asked a couple of Lane's guys, theoretically, in case there was something I hadn't thought of. But there wasn't. And the problem is, Bloomingdale's is a whole block long. How could anyone have predicted exactly what yard of Lexington Avenue Taylor's Jaguar was going to stop on? And if they didn't predict it exactly right, then the whole thing would have fallen apart immediately, there and then. Either Kate and Jade would have been out on the sidewalk already, or Taylor would have seen the takedown guy running up, in which case he would have reacted and taken off, or at least hit the door locks.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying, real or fake, there's something wrong with this whole thing. I'm saying, I can't get a handle on what happened. I can't get traction. I'm saying, for the first time in my life, I just don't know. Like Brewer said, I've been wrong plenty of times, but I've always known before.
You should talk to Brewer officially.
No point. NYPD can't do anything without a complaint from Lane, or at least a missing person report from someone with an interest.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to have to do it the hard way, Reacher said.
What way is that?
It's what we called it in the service when we didn't catch a break, when we actually had to work for a living. You know, start over at square one, re-examine everything, sweat the details, work the clues.
Kate and Jade are probably already dead.
Then I'll make someone pay.
Can I help?
I need to know about two guys called Hobart and Knight.
Pauling nodded. Knight was the driver the day Anne was taken, and Hobart was in Philadelphia. Now Patty Joseph talks about them. They died overseas.
Maybe they didn't die overseas. They were abandoned, wounded, but alive. I need to know where, when, how, and what's likely to have happened to them.
You think they're alive? You think they're back?
I don't know what to think, but at least one of Lane's guys wasn't sleeping too well last night.
I met Hobart and Knight, you know, 5 years ago, during the investigation.
Did either of them look like the guy I saw?
Medium-sized and ordinary-looking?
Both of them.
Exactly.
That helps.
What are you going to do now?
I'm going back to the Dakota. Maybe we'll get a call and this whole thing will be over. But more likely we won't, and it's just beginning.
Give me 3 hours,
Pauling said.
Then call my cell.
Chapter 26.
By the time Reacher got back to the Dakota, it was 7 o'clock, and dawn had given way to full morning. The sky was a pale, hard blue. No cloud, just a beautiful late summer day in the capital of the world. But inside the fifth-floor apartment, the air was foul and hot, and the drapes were still drawn. Reacher didn't need to ask whether the phone had rung. Clearly it hadn't. The tableau was the same as it had been 9 hours earlier. Lane upright in his chair. Then Gregory, Groom, Burke, Perez, Addison, Kowalski, all silent, all morose, all arrayed here and there, eyes closed, eyes opened, staring into space, breathing low.
Metals not approved. General discharges. Bad guys.
Lane turned his head slowly and looked straight at Reacher and asked,
"Where the hell have you been?"
"Breakfast," Reacher said. "Long breakfast. What was it, 5 courses at the Four Seasons?" "A diner. Bad choice, slow service."
"I pay you to work. I don't pay you to be out stuffing your face."
"You don't pay me at all," Reacher said. "I haven't seen dime one yet." Lane kept his body facing forward and his head turned 90 degrees to the side. Like a querulous seabird. His eyes were dark and wet and glittering.
"Is that your problem? Money?"
Reacher said nothing.
"That's easily solved.